Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this gorgeous Friday morning here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside as we sit here live at the Nashville Super Speedway out here in Gladeville. Of course, the trucks are going around the track. Cup race on Sunday afternoon, first cup race in this area in 36 years. Willie Donick is also with us today. He'll be heading to Indiana in just a bit. We are now joined, and I need to be more professional. I always call him the big cheese. He is, but I need to give a little bit more formal introduction with the Nashville Sports Council. He's the president and CEO. He's Scott Ramsey. He now joins us on the program. Scott, how the heck are you?
I'm good, Darren. How are you? I've never really taken offense to the big cheese, but I've always tried to kind of maintain to be, you know, somewhat more of a healthy big cheese during COVID month.
That is a good point. You know, you're right. Nobody should be really offended by calling a big cheese, but I like where you went with that. That's good. My son loves cheese. If I consumed as much cheese as him, he's 9. Well, I'll just leave it at that. I think we all know what that means. How's your summer going?
Yeah, it was good. We're actually on family vacation. I hate missing the cup race, but we've got 4 kids and a brand new little grandbaby that's 10 months old, and we had this planned for quite a while, and hate missing the race out there. For I know Eric and everybody's worked hard on just, you know, pulling the Super Speedway back together, but unfortunately we had this one planned, so I'm gonna have to root from afar for everything to go well this weekend for them.
Yeah. No doubt about it. We'll have fun with that. I know you guys will. So there's supposed to be a teleconference today at noon our time, Scott, and they're supposed to talk about the future of the college football playoffs. There's a lot of speculation out there that this thing is headed toward a 12-team college football playoff format. And if it passes, and I think it's got to get rubber stamped, as Paul Feinbaum told us a couple of days ago, rubber stamped a couple more times and away they go. There's a lot of people writing about, you know, what does this mean? How is this going to affect everything else? So who better than you to talk about it? Because I know you've obviously been privy to stuff. You've been talking to people. Is this a good thing for you? Does this concern you? Kind of where are you if this indeed is where college football is headed in a couple of years?
Well, as we talked today, Darren, I think it's a mixed bag of excitement and concern. And I say that today because we're not really sure of a lot of the specifics that would really play into how it's going to directly impact the Music City Bowl and where we've been going with our game. And hopefully we were headed toward, you know, trying to get into that really elite package of cities and destinations for postseason college football. So, you know, I think there's a lot of details still to kind of be ironed out and to be answered. And right now, I'm not aware of those being very definitive. And some of those are about timing. So, for example, when will this go into effect? You know, there's rumors it could go into effect in 2 or 3 years. If that happens, we're still in the middle of a contract cycle with the SEC, the Big Ten, our new title sponsor, TransPerfect, ESPN, and you know, all of our kind of plans have been built around this 6-year deal that we put together a couple of years ago, and we're in year 2 of that. And you know, how will that impact us, you know, going forward over the next few years through team selection, matchups, TV time slots, just general interest from fans. You know, I think the 12 team will even garner more of the focus on the teams, the players, and the fans, and you know, everything, than more so than even the 4 teams. So, you know, how will that impact? That's going to be a little bit of a guess, but I think we're going to have to factor that in. You know, or they could make a decision, which has been talked about, that hey, we've got too many contracts to undo here between, you know, not only destinations and bowl games, but conferences and teams and financial payouts and TV contracts. We could wait to the end of the contract cycle, which that's the time where we had kind of aligned, and it looked like it was aligning for some of our Nissan Stadium renovations. And we were really going to try to kind of get into that national championship kind of discussion. And, you know, the East Bank renovations will be undergoing. Certainly downtown growth. We've shown that we can host events better than anybody in the country. And certainly open air stadium has been, you know, a little bit of holding us back in the middle of January for, you know, Mid-South. So hopefully with the new stadium renovations and maybe moving it around the country, we could get in that conversation. But, you know, so it's more of the timing and alignment. Certainly our track was to kind of get into that national championship and semi and quarterfinals discussion with the current New Year's Six Bowls. But, you know, if that happens too soon before stadium's ready, how does that impact it? We just don't know yet.
You have a very good relationship with Greg Sankey. You talk to him a lot. He seemed to be the one pushing this thing to why we're having this discussion. I just want to know your initial reaction when this basically started getting out there, or at least when you heard it. I mean, you probably heard all this stuff well before us when it was out there for public consumption. But I've admitted, Scott, you know, I thought, you know, the next phase was 6 or 8, and somehow we've blown way past 6 and 8. We've skipped some steps, and it's like straight to 12. And Greg Sankey seems to be the one, you know, out, up front, standing up and presenting that to the committee. Are you surprised that it seems like we've blown through some steps and we're talking about going from 4 to 12?
Well, I think, you know, I think when you just think about the numbers, Darren, you know, you would certainly say, wow, that seems to be a big jump, especially for college football that has a collection of, you know, independent conferences and teams trying to make a unified decision, which has always been what's taken a long time to make decisions. But on the other hand, you start thinking about, you know, the difference between 6 and 8 and 12, you know, has been documented. It opens up more opportunities for the power leagues like the SEC to have multiple teams in, 3, 4. Maybe there's a year where they could get 5 in based on the rankings. And it also, you know, solves the question for the group of 5 of, you know, maybe 1, maybe 2 in, and, you know, kind of opens up that process. Now, again, that adds a layer of questions from my standpoint of trying to see where Nashville fits in. Are they going to kind of dig in and play that throughout the entire month of December, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, which has always been a challenge in scheduling some of these games? So are you going to play, you know, that first round on campus? Well, if so, boy, that's a tough job for the committee to start ranking, you know, who's 8 and who's 9, who gets the home game and who doesn't, especially if you're talking about weather in December. Secondly, you know, would those consider coming to neutral sites? And then lastly, if you go to the quarter and the semis, when are you going to play those? You're going to play those right before, right after Christmas? You're going to collect New Year's Day? So I think there's a lot of things, the numbers and what they propose. I guess I was a little surprised about how quickly that had come out, coming out of COVID and let everybody kind of get their arms around a year of recovery and normalcy. And knowing we had 5 years left in deals that, you know, are system wide. And, you know, I was a little surprised on that. But again, I think it'll take them time to figure out all those details of scheduling, timing, process, locations, you know, and hopefully we'll find a place for Nashville if you continue to kind of play and move up in the process, which is certainly our goal.
Scott Ramsey is with us. We're trying to look on the horizon on this 12-team college football playoff proposal and what it means for Nashville. So, Scott, this was a question I think Ross Bjork asked on Paul Feinbaum's show, and that would be, if the first round is on home sites, which has been proposed, could the loser of those first games be eligible to play in a bowl game? And I would think the Music City Bowl might be in that mix. You were just trying to get a feel for the calendar, which we don't know. But, you know, that's an interesting question, because that would certainly affect who you could invite and, you know, what you think the market would be in a situation like that, a playoff team that goes down in the first round.
Yeah, you know, that's a logistical question that's, boy, you got to sit down and really put some pen to paper on, Willie, here's why. So let's say there's two SEC teams that play and lose, or Big Ten, because we're SEC Big Ten. into that first round, and which is maybe what, second week of December.
Okay.
And do you hold up the entire bowl selection or assignment process, whichever way it's going to go, until mid-December, knowing that Texas A&M or Wisconsin or Penn State may be available to play? And if so, and they play just played on the road, are there players and organization wanting to travel to Tampa, Nashville, Houston, you know, Orlando or something like that to play another game, you know, in 2 weeks? Because I think also one of the things I think it's interesting timing here is the NIL legislation.
Right.
So once you start getting into 15, 16, 17 games, we've already seen players and even teams last year opt out of going to the postseason. You know, I referenced the Florida situation. They were playing Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl. And, you know, I don't know how many starters. You guys probably know that exact number. But, I mean, I'm thinking multiple starters just kind of said no thanks. Now, that could have been COVID, you know, fatigue from going through the year. But you feel like that's more of a trend going. So are they going to want to play and lose in the playoffs and then come to a bowl game? And will fans have interest to make it a worthwhile tourism investment for a city like Nashville? It may. It may not. I think it's just going to have to take a lot more discussion and thought as we move through the process.
Really interesting thoughts. And, you know, on the other hand, if this is not an option, the losing team of the first round, who, you know, otherwise maybe doesn't get a bowl game, right? They made the playoffs,
yeah,
but they actually
right.
don't get a trip, that kind of thing. They played either a home or a road game. Are there enough
right.
teams left over to fill out? I think you guys are certainly high enough yeah. on the chain that you would have teams, but it would certainly affect the matchups, wouldn't it? Now
yeah,
with 12 instead of 4.
I think the you know, intangible question, Willie, too, is it will you be able to maintain the interest in the trip to Nashville? I mean, you know, a Wisconsin-Auburn game this year would be, you know, one thing. Wisconsin-Auburn, if they just were ranked 14th, 15th, and just missed the top 12 in a playoff game, will that continue to wane? And will fans kind of then have more apps? I mean, hey, we've made no bones about it. We started this game to really build the business and the tourism and the excitement between Christmas and New Year's when we built the stadium 25 years ago. You know, the bowl game has been a huge, you know, business and economic, you know, catalyst for building that week. Certainly we have the New Year's Eve concert now and general tourism, but the bowl has brought, you know, significant amount of people, revenue, and exposure to the city during what used to be a dead time. So I think we go back to our core mission of, hey, we want to bring people to the city, fill up the city, fill up the stadium, and, you know, put as many eyeballs in our city as possible. So will we be able to maintain that and raise the necessary revenue to kind of work out the financial deal with the conferences, which could change as well. So I think there's a lot of a lot of things that kind of really, you know, sit back and really kind of put some thought to on our ability to maintain a high profile and growing event rather than a stagnant event. And if so, then how do we do that effectively? I'm not sure yet until we know some more details.
And I'm sure Greg Sankey has to be thinking about all those things as he moves forward with this, if he's on board, which he seems like he is. One more for you, Scott, before I pass it to Chase. You were talking earlier about you've already had the vision of wanting to upgrade to a point where you get in the mix for a big game, a playoff game. And we were thinking out loud. We had this discussion just batting it around. It's one of the ideas we had to call you and just see what you thought is, you know, with quarterfinal games and maybe someday they decide, you know, the first round needs to be on neutral sites. Could you envision
right.
Nashville in a rotation of playoff games? We know it's an outdoor venue, but of course we were saying if you're going to play on site, you could have home games in Michigan and home games in, you know, Penn State. You know, there's a lot of teams that could
yeah.
be hosting well north of Nashville.
Absolutely, Willie. I you know, again, that's where in the perfect world for us, it would have been to kind of play out this contract cycle, because I really think in that would align with the timeline of the renovations of Nissan Stadium. And I don't think any of us, at least I know you guys on the call, are going to question our ability to be able to host this event as good as any city in the country should we be able to host a national championship game. The question is, you start looking at the actual venue, Do you want to play it in the Mid-South? Well, you're certainly now going to start playing playoff games in questionable weather because it's going to be based on record. So is that going to get thrown out a little bit? And then we can compete. We can compete with the cities. The Mercedes-Benz Dome and certainly the Cowboy Stadium. And there's some facilities now that are enclosed that are, weatherproof, if you will. For the actual game that make it difficult. And so that's why I was excited about kind of the timeline of Nissan. But I certainly think we're going to kind of push the envelope as far as we can once we have a better definition of kind of who and where they would like to play the games.
Very interesting.
I think the other question, Willie, you brought up about Sankey is one of the things I think is going to be interesting too is I think as the conferences talk about all their teams, if you start really pushing back and devaluing the bowl system, then are you really, really cutting out a lot of your conference that tried to kind of build up through the bowls to become maybe a chance to play in the playoffs? Because, they've got to figure out a system that maximizes the postseason for their entire conference membership, not just maybe two of their elite teams that typically there. So, that's a little bit of a quandary as well. How do you maintain some level of importance and scheduling and excitement around postseason as a whole for your conference, not just, your two or three elite teams typically every year?
Scott Ramsey is with us from the Nashville Sports Council. And Scott, looking at other things too, a few years ago, I can remember being at Nissan Stadium as Tennessee played in opening their season at a neutral site game. How much has that been looked at of trying to get more of those Ole Miss, Vanderbilt played there, mm-hmm. getting more of those neutral site games on the schedule?
Chase, that's probably one of the most common questions I've had over the years, and there's really a two-part answer to it. One, we really haven't played in that area for a financial reason to this date. I mean, looking at $5 million team guarantees, so you're at $10 million, right out of the gate in your regular season, so you have very limited revenue stream. So you need television and some sort of benefactor to kind of fund those games. Certainly Chick-fil-A and AT&T and some of those places have done it pretty successfully to have a Labor Day kickoff event. So the financial risk on that one, we have felt like we've been better utilizing our money for some of the special events in our city that we funded, NHL All-Star Game, and NFL Draft, our bowl game, the SEC basketball tournament, things like that. So financially, it's kind of been holding us back a little bit about the price to kind of get, the top-level teams in here. We have certainly tried to pursue that right regular season game, and you referenced the Tennessee game, when maybe there's been an 8 or 9 game home regular season of some teams regionally that have fit in here. We've done quite well with that, 40, 50,000, and occasionally a Tennessee sellout. So we've been active. We just haven't been active at the top level. Now, with the change in this, I think what you're going to see is, and what you've seen the trend now shift to is a lot of the big time matchups are going back to home and home because, the ADs now need to keep, that big name on your calendar, non-conference to pacify your season ticket holders, your suite holders, your sponsors. And rather than have that game on a neutral site, you can bring it to the campus and that really helps your season ticket package for that season. So, I think you're going to continue to see the trend of have those games kind of pull back more on campus, but we're going to explore every opportunity if we feel like the new system will open up those chances for us.
So obviously, you hear the trucks in the background. We open this by talking about the mm-hmm. race this weekend out here at the Nashville Super Speedway. There's still a lot of movement with the fairgrounds and what could happen with that race facility, with the folks from Bristol Motor Speedway being involved in that. How special is it, though, to see how much NASCAR wants to be in this city, whether it's a race out at this place at the fairgrounds and also having the year-end banquet like they did a couple of years ago?
I think it's exciting, Chase. I think one of the things in the last 4 or 5 years that we've all enjoyed, I think, has been the reputation of Nashville as a site for a major sporting event, whether it be NASCAR, whether it be the NFL, NHL, certainly IndyCars coming with a new Grand Prix this summer have been trying. So I think NASCAR kind of has underscored the interest in Nashville nationally for, sports and major sporting events as a destination. I think we've worked hard over the last 20 years as a city to really create that reputation, and hopefully over the next few years, racing will be one of the, old but new additions to the annual calendar.
Yeah, and it's obviously a sport that's near and dear to my heart. Do you feel, and I don't know, I guess all your involvement, do you feel like we're close to something with the fairgrounds and getting a little bit of a resolution?
I'll be honest, Chase, I have not really been in those discussions. I think it's certainly in the Metro fairgrounds, hands right now. And, I think certainly if things move forward and progress, we'll stand ready as a sports council to help wherever they need our assistance, whether with an event, special event, or anything down that road, which has been very consistent with us. That's kind of the role we've played with soccer, certainly the role we're playing with the Grand Prix. We've talked to Eric Moses as he's come in from Dover, and they want to get this inaugural year done, but we've had some good conversations, and we may have a role with him down the road. So, I think as we continue to build our calendar out, the role the Sports Council plays is always a little bit different for every event, and we certainly would enjoy having a role with a NASCAR event at the fairgrounds as well as we would out at Super Speedway as well.
Scott, really appreciate your time. Have a great vacation with your family, and we look forward to talking to you here real soon.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a good weekend.
All right, that is Scott Ramsey. He is the president and CEO of the Nashville Sports Council, and a good conversation there with him. We'll come back and continue that on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.